Tonight we'll speak on Krishna consciousness, and we'll particularly discuss the 70th text of the second chapter. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samutramapa pravishanti advat Tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kami. Translation. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Purport by His Divine Grace, E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although the vast ocean is always filled with water, it is always, especially during the rainy season, being filled with much more water. But the ocean remains the same, steady. It is not agitated, nor does it cross beyond the limit of its brink. That is also true of a person fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one has the material body, the demands of the body for sense gratification will continue. The devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires because of his fullness. A Krishna-conscious man is not in need of anything because the Lord fulfills all his material necessities. Therefore, he is like the ocean, always full in himself. Desires may come to him like the waters of the river that flow into the ocean, but he is steady in his activities and he is not even slightly disturbed by desires for sense gratification. That is the proof of a Krishna-conscious man. One who has lost all inclinations for material sense gratification, although the desires are present. Because he remains satisfied in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he can remain steady like the ocean and therefore enjoy full peace. Others, however, who want to fulfill desires even up to the limit of liberation, what to speak of material success, never attain peace. The fruit of workers, the salvationists, and the yogis who are after mystic powers are all unhappy because of unfulfilled desires. But the person in Krishna consciousness is happy in the service of the Lord, and he has no desires to be fulfilled. In fact, he does not even desire liberation from the so-called material bondage. The devotees of Krishna have no material desires, and therefore they are in perfect peace. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapna utina kama kami. Amagyanatamarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurindratam jena tasma shri gurayama. So the example is given here of the ocean that is always being filled by its tributary rivers. So many rivers are flowing into the sea, isn't it? The rivers come down from the mountains and they end in the sea and they pour so much water, especially in the rainy season. So, one might think that the ocean would overflow, always being filled up, but it does not overflow. It remains steady, does not go beyond its brink. Samudra. Samudra means ocean. Samudram apa pravishanti yadvat. apuryamanam achala pratishtam, steadily situated samudra. So we want to become like the ocean, steady. And the desires that come to us are like the rivers flowing into the ocean. There will be so many desires coming in, just like rivers. Constantly coming up with ideas. You need this, you need that, get this, get that, enjoy this, go here, do this, say this, eat that, driving down the street. As we're driving down the street, the advertisements are screaming at us, screaming, come and eat this, it's only 39 cents today. Or $2 or $5, all you can eat. Screaming, come and eat this. And buy this, listen to this, watch this. So this is, these, of course, now in present society, the desires are being intensified. Desires are always there, but now we're trying to increase the material desires as much as possible. Formerly people used to cook food at home, eat at home. Right? The mother would cook or the wife would cook. Now it's very rare to find anyone who knows how to cook, except microwave. So this is because of an artificial society based, again, on increasing sense desires. But this is the wrong direction to go, as Krishna is pointing out here. Krishna is saying, one who does not become disturbed by these desires and does not try to fulfill them, kama-kami, described. Kama-kami means one who desires to fulfill his desires. Kami means one who's always trying to fulfill the kama, the lusty desires. And what about such a... shantim apnoti na. Na means not. He does not attain peace. One who's always eager to enjoy material things cannot get peace. There's a nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ateva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siri Kami Sakalaya Shanta. So, one who's desiring material pleasure, one who's desiring to merge or to become saved, to get salvation in the Pramana effulgence, or as the Buddhists would say, in Nirvana, or as some say, just resting in peace or something, ceasing to exist. They don't get peace because they still have desires, and even those who practice yoga with the intention of deriving mystic powers. They want to be able to control others' minds, or they want to be able to have out-of-body experiences with the extraterrestrials, and they want different to be able to go to other planets and on the astral plane. They want powers. They want, again, it's the same thing, material enjoyment. They want to be able to walk on water to impress their friends. They want some amulet to give them protection. This is still material desire. They're not peaceful because they're thinking in terms of this body. They're thinking in terms of trying to enjoy themselves in this situation. Whereas, so when the time comes for them to leave their bodies, they will not be very happy about it. because they still have so many plans to fulfill. They still have so many desires to fulfill. Whereas a devotee, he's already full. He doesn't have anything to ask for. He's not working for some material goal to gain something. He's already satisfied. It's like if a man is a multi-millionaire, and if he's out in his garden, let's say he's in his garden and he's putting in some roses, right? And you drive by and say, "Oh," and you stop. And you say, "Oh, sir, you look like you're doing a good job. Look, when you're done, why don't you come out over to my house? I'll give you $4 an hour. You can put in some roses in my house." Well, what do you think he'll say? Did anyone follow that? Or should I say it again? Why? Why would he say no? Excuse me? You don't know why he'd say no? Oh, yes, that's the point. He's already a multimillionaire. He's not putting in the roses as a job. It's not his job. He's doing it as a pastime, as a hobby. And if you offer him $4 an hour and you say, "Okay, look, $6 an hour, come on, I really need you." Is that going to make any difference to him? He's got plenty of money. So he doesn't need a job. He's completely satisfied. He's just happy putting in his roses, you know, as a pastime, as a pleasure. So in the same way, a devotee has nothing to gain. There's nothing he wants. There's nothing he needs. You offer him. Okay, it's like so many times. I remember some years ago, we had a spiritual sky incense business in Los Angeles. So it was quite a successful business. We were the first major incense manufacturing company in America that was very successful. This was in 1970, 71, 72. So it was even so successful that the Wall Street Journal did some articles. I remember they came. I was also participating in that, and they did some interviews. And people sometimes would offer us jobs, the devotees. The president of the Spiritual Sky Company was offered a big job for $100,000 a year. And at that time, that was quite a lot of money to be a manager. But the people don't understand that devotees are not working for money. Money does not register. "Oh, why don't you come and work here? We'll give you some money." "Money? Why should I need money?" "You don't need money, so what makes you tick? What is the commodity? What is the thing that makes you run?" Therefore it is said, "Yasmin vigyate sarvam etam vigyatam bhavati." The verse I'm thinking of is Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vijaya Nabujaya. It's very difficult to understand the mind of a devotee. His mind is not so easily understood because it's on a different platform. Once one of my relatives was thinking or accusing that the leader of the movement, Srila Prabhupada, must be making millions of dollars and exploiting all of the followers and having a good time materially. And I said, "Why do you think like that?" And the relative said, "Well, what else would you do if you were in such a position?" In other words, from my relative's viewpoint, the obvious thing to do if you had so many young people working on your behalf and you could get money would be to enjoy sense gratification and exploit the city. He said, "That's what I would do." So that's what you would do, and that's what the people that you know would do, but you cannot say that spiritually situated person would do that because they don't have those kinds of interests, exploiting, taking advantage of others, sense gratification. It doesn't appeal to them. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that what is daytime for the introspective sage is nighttime for the uncontrolled, for the materialist. And what is daytime for the materialist is nighttime for the introspective sage. In other words, they're completely opposite. Just like we get up early here. So we're getting up early and the people are just going to bed at night. I hear them. They're laughing and joking. They're just beginning to wind down at 12:30, 1, 2 o'clock. They're winding down, 3 o'clock, 4. And the devotees are getting up, chanting, hearing. See the difference? One is working on the spiritual plane and the other is working on the material plane. So they don't mix very well. It's like oil and water. And how can you see the difference? Is that the devotees of Krishna, they just don't need any of the things that this material world has to offer. Fame, wealth, prestige, sense gratification. These things are not what they aspire for. So people say, well, then why are you living? What is the use in your life? There's a humorous story that one of the Vaishnavas from disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to England and he was preaching Krishna consciousness. So he met one, was it Marquis of Zetlin? Okay, the Marquis of Zetlin. And, very lord in Britain and aristocratic. So the man was saying, yes, Swamiji, can you make me into a brahmana? And the devotee said, yes, I can make you a brahmana. All you have to do is follow these regulative principles. You don't eat any meat, fish, or eggs. Don't gamble. Don't have illicit sex. And don't take any intoxication, including tea. And he says, this is impossible. These things are our life. He couldn't even imagine giving these things up. In fact, people think that without these things, there's no use even living. Might as well just... That's why, we're chanting sometimes as we go down the streets. People drive by and they give their sage advice, why don't you get a life? Because they think that this isn't even a life. It doesn't register to them. How can you do this? How can you stand on the street and chant Hare Krishna? How can you wear those simple clothes? Don't you know you're supposed to wear M.M. Bean or whatever it is? What's his name? Supposed to wear some fancy clothes, not these clothes. How will you be happy like that? Because they cannot imagine it. Well, what does it mean? It means that the devotees are getting a different kind of pleasure. They're not dependent upon the material pleasure. That's why these desires that come in don't disturb them. Like if you have a radio. So if you're on one channel, one frequency, then the other frequencies don't disturb you. You've got a good strong signal you're picking up. You're connected. So then the other signals, although there's so many other signals, they're on another frequency. You understand? They don't disturb. So we have to, what must we do if we want to connect with Krishna? That's called yoga. That connection has to be done through the authorized system given in Bhagavad Gita and recommended by the guided by the spiritual master. We should be guided by the scriptures, and we should be guided, that's called Shastra, and we should be guided by the Guru, the spiritual master, and the Sadhu, the saintly persons, and also the Antaryami, the Lord within the heart. He will also confirm and give us guidance in the right direction. So in this way, life becomes valuable. But don't be surprised if some people may think that you're crazy. You may have already discovered that. Family members, friends, acquaintances, they may think, well, are you crazy? How can you get any pleasure this way? Because they're always agitated. Kama kami. Once I saw, before, many years before I was a devotee, there was a kind of a comedy show, and there was an elderly lady watching television. And it was funny because she was using every product that was on the commercial that she saw. So she had her hair and part of it in curlers, and the other part she was dyeing it, and the other she was eating something, and it was very humorous because she just had all these things that she was trying to consume at the same time. And then still she was watching TV and they were telling her something else. So she was taking some pills. And so this is what we're doing in the material world. We're being controlled by our lusty desires. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the belly, the genitals. This is called being Godasa, servant of the senses. Do we like being Godasa? Yes. We think we like it. We think it's very nice. Kamadinam katita, katita, palita, durnideshus. But these are called bad masters, the senses. The senses are bad masters because they keep degrading us, leading us down into the pit of hellish life. Because they'll never be satisfied, no matter how much. The example is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if you have a fire, and if you drop some oil on the fire, a little bit of oil, a little bit of oil, well, it'll just keep burning. And the bigger the fire gets, the more oil you put, the bigger it gets. So that's compared to sense gratification. Does everyone know what I mean by sense gratification? Is there anyone who doesn't, not clear on what I mean by that? Trying to satisfy our material desires. So that is compared to pouring oil on the fire. It doesn't extinguish it. It just keeps fueling the fire forever. So there was one sage, his name was Sobari Muni, and he became agitated by lusty desires. And of course, in his case, he was able to fulfill his desires in a very extraordinary way. He went to a king. Actually, he was meditating inside the river Jamuna, underwater. He had special mystic powers that, because he didn't have to breathe, he was under the water. If you don't breathe, you can stay underwater without any problem. Right? Those of you who have done scuba diving, you know the big problem is air, because you have to breathe. But if you don't have to breathe, then you don't need any air. So he had learned the yoga process to stop his breathing. So he was just sitting down there without breathing and living very peacefully. But then he became agitated. He saw some fish. They were having a copulation program. And so he began thinking, yeah, I could also enjoy a woman. So he got out of the water and he went to the king, King Mandata. He said, King, why don't you give me one of your daughters to marry? Give me your daughter. So the king was thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? This man is very old. He's not handsome at all. He's been underwater for all these years. You can just imagine. My daughter is not going to be very happy marrying. But if I say no to him, then he may curse me. And he's so powerful that if he curses me, I may lose my whole kingdom. So what to do? So he gave some kind of equivocal remark. Well, yes, my daughters are allowed to marry whoever they like, if, you know, something like that. He just avoided. So the sage could understand. The sage could understand that the daughters wouldn't be very attracted to him because he was old and not very good looking. So by his mystic power, he transformed himself into a young man. He looked very young and handsome. We're working on that nowadays, aren't we? With our modern technology and plastic surgery and hormone transplants and this and that. You know, we're getting very good at... Even some people, you know, they go to India and they take the monkeys and then they take the sex glands out of the monkeys and put it in old men, because old men, you know, they become impotent. So in order to keep going, they get the sex gland from the monkeys, who are very strong in sex. Anyway, we're trying, but he had mystic powers. He knew how to do it. So he made himself very handsome. And of course, because the soul is the same in a young person's body or an old person's body, there's no difference. There's no difference between the soul of a young person's body and the soul of an old person, young person. Do you think there's any difference? Let's say there's a soul in a little baby and the soul in an old man. Do you think the soul in the old man is an old soul? No. It's eternal soul. The soul is eternal. It's just the body that's different. I was thinking today that the old, now there's people that are old, and they look at the young people, the teenagers, and they're, what are they thinking? They're thinking, you're young now, and you're enjoying, and now I'm old, and I'm not enjoying anymore, I can't do any of those, nobody wants me. Everybody's attracted to you. You walk down the street and everyone whistles. When I walk down the street, they say... But soon, that old person will be dying. And then after dying, that old person will become young again. And then the person who's young now, in 30 years, will be old. And then the old person will be young again. And so the old one will look at the young one and say, oh, you're young now, and now I'm old. So this business of growing old and growing young and old and young and envying, it's all just a temporary waste of time. Actually, the soul is neither young nor old. The soul is eternal. So this Shobari Muni, he changed his body from being old looking to being young looking, and sure enough, he went before the wives or the daughters of King Mandata, and the king had 50 daughters. And guess what happened? All 50 daughters wanted to marry the sage. And they even started fighting amongst themselves. No, he's for me. No, he's not for me. He's not fit for you. He's for me. Anyway, somehow or other, he married all 50 of these young girls. And now, this is really, quite a successful, you know, he only asked for one wife. He ended up getting 50 princesses. And by his mystic powers, he created the most amazing situation for enjoyment. Beautiful palaces and gardens and opulences and jewels. And all of his wives were given so much material enjoyment. Even King Mandata himself was amazed at the opulence of this brahmana, this yogi. And the king, of course, in terms of opulence, the king is usually the one who has the most. But he couldn't compare to this yogi's mystic opulence. So what happened? This went on for a long time. This yogi Sobari was enjoying with all these beautiful, and he had 100 sons by each wife. So how many is that? 50 times 100 is 5,000. 5,000 children. Now he has 50 wives, 5,000 children. Before, he was in meditation trying to reach samadhi, and then he thought, what happened to me? What happened here? Simply because of a little bit of a desire, I saw some fish engaged in sexual activities, and then I went, and now look what's happened to me. I'm all entangled. So he said, I'm going to give up this nonsense. He compared, he said, the more I try to enjoy my senses, the more I try to fulfill my desires, it's just like pouring oil on the fire. It doesn't extinguish, it just keeps getting more and more. He gave that example, Shobari Muni. So, Shobari gave the example from his own personal experience. And Lord Krishna is giving the example also. So we should take it. These are persons who had a lot more enjoyment than we've had. And look at the facilities that Shobari Muni had for sense gratification, and still he wasn't happy. You're thinking, oh, if you had 50 beautiful, say you could pick, what do they have, Miss Universe? Okay, so let's say they had it here in Coconut Grove. Do they have it? No. Let's say they had the pageant this year in Coconut Grove. Okay? Pardon? Alright, so let's say next year they have it in Coconut Grove. Great, okay, and you got free tickets. One of your relatives happens to know someone, so you get free tickets. And there you go, they give you the tickets, you go there, and someone says, okay, you know, we're going to call out these numbers, and whoever wins gets the 50 of his choice. Of course, it's theoretical. So you win, and you get 50. And then not only that, but they give you at least $1 million so that you can supply nice facilities for each of your 50 ladies. Do you think you'd be happy then? You might say, well, be on the way to happiness. Sounds pretty good. 50 beautiful women with $1 million. But Shobari had more than that. More than $1 million. And still he wasn't happy. Why not? Why wasn't he happy? Because these are not soul pleasures. These are only pleasures for the so-called body, which we're not. We cannot be happy by giving, pandering to the impulses of the senses. That's what these are. When our senses desire something, it's not really that they're desiring, it's just there's some impulse coming. Just like when you're driving a car and in the car, a light comes on and says, you know, oil. It means you need to put oil in. It doesn't mean that the vehicle is desiring oil. It means some oil is required. So the same way, this body, some lights are coming on. Okay, I want something to eat. I want something to see, something to hear. But this is not the soul. These are not the soul's impulses. These are simply lights for the vehicle. So if we think that by putting oil in the car and water in the car and air in the tires that I'll be satisfied, you won't be satisfied. You'll starve to death. If you're sitting in your car after days and you can't even move, and someone comes up and says, "Why are you sitting in the car?" And you say, "I'm so weak, I can't move." "Well, why don't you eat something?" "I put air in the tires. I don't know what's wrong. I put oil in the tank. I put gas. I even put transmission fluid. And still I'm getting weak. I don't know why." Why? Because you haven't fed yourself. You're just feeding your car. So, giving, pandering to the needs of the body and the senses will not satisfy the soul. What does the soul want? The soul wants spiritual sense gratification. And what is that? What is that spiritual sense gratification? It's Krishna consciousness. That is the spiritual sense gratification for the soul. So we've discussed some points here about this verse. If there are any questions, we can... First class man, he hears about the value of renunciation, or he hears what is right, let's put it that way. And he learns. He learns something just by hearing. For example, let's take it in terms of law-abiding citizens. A first class man, he hears that if you shouldn't commit crimes, and so he doesn't do it. Okay? Second class man, he hears it, but still he's not convinced, but then he sees some friends, they commit crimes and they're punished, they're put in prison, and then he learns, "Oof, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to spend my time in prison." So he learns by seeing. Now, the third class man, he hears it, he sees others being punished in prison, but still it doesn't register, so he still tries to steal something. He tries to rob a business, and he becomes caught, then he's put in prison. And then he thinks, okay, this is it. When he gets out, he swears he'll never do it again, he doesn't. So that's third class man, he learns by experience. I stole, I broke the law, and I was punished, and it was painful, and I'm not going to do it again. Third class. Fourth class man, he doesn't learn by hearing. He hears it's wrong. He sees people being punished. He's done it. He's punished. He keeps doing it again and again, and he keeps getting punished again and again. He never learns. Incorrigible. So we at least want to be third class. At least... if we do make the mistake, we want to learn from it so we don't do it again. So, whatever position, whatever within the Vedic culture, we don't want to be outside the Vedic culture. We don't want to try to invent a new system. The Vedic culture has the Varnashram, which is so nicely designed, for helping everyone in society make advancement. So as you pointed out, Grihastha, well, Grihastha is one of the eight divisions. So that's one of the ashrams. So then there's rules and regulations for the Grihastha ashram, and if one follows those, then he'll progress. He'll make advancement, and gradually he'll come towards the perfectional stage. So we just have to, as you said, we have to be honest and see, okay, this is my position. Just like if a child's in fifth grade. In fifth grade. All right. So his older brother is in college. He can't be envious that I want to study what you're studying in college. No, no, you wait, son, brother. You do your fifth grade work, and someday you'll also be. Now that doesn't mean that the fifth grader is useless. It doesn't mean that that his position is criticized in society. No one goes around criticizing fifth graders. Fifth graders. Fifth graders are quite respectable because they're progressive. Everyone knows that when you finish fifth grade, you go to sixth grade and seventh grade. So in that way, we should be progressing in our spiritual life. Wherever we are now, we should be progressing. And that's why it says here that a devotee is happy in his position, because he knows that he's on the progressive path back to home, back to Godhead. He's on the right road. Have you ever been driving? You get on this long road that doesn't have any exits for like 60 miles, and you're not sure if you're going the right way. You're in anxiety the whole way. Isn't it? You're driving, you think, oh no, I don't even know if I'm going the right way, and it's 60 miles to the next exit. Oh no. But if you're sure you made the right turn and you see the signpost along says 45 more miles to Miami, 30 miles to Miami, you think, ah, great, I'm on the right road, peacefully, like when you get on, what is it, Alligator Alley? So you know, okay, I'm going towards Fort Lauderdale, I'm coming into Miami, I'm okay. So if you're on the right path, the Bhakti Marg, you're following the instructions of the spiritual path, then your position is secure. Then you'll be peaceful and happy. Then that is a person who's described in this verse. But if you're not following and you're deviating, then you'll be in anxiety. And you should be in anxiety. You deserve to be in anxiety. And that anxiety is good because it'll force you to rethink your directions. There's a question over here. Lady in the back. Go from, I didn't hear. Oh. They make your life miserable? They try. And you let them? So you have to be strong. You have to be strong to not let them make your life miserable. That means you have to get up early every morning in your home, and you have to chant. You can't come to the temple, but you have to make your home a temple. And you have your altar, and you have your ceremony, and you chant, and then you hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then you sing, and you make some food, and you offer it to Krishna, and then you eat that. And if you go out after reading and chanting, then even though they may try to make your life miserable, you'll make their life blissful. See the difference? But you have to be strong. If you're weak, then yes, they'll bring you down. If you're strong, you'll bring them up. So you have to be strong.
Hare Krishna. You have a question? Make it loud.
White people. Okay, you said that people, in order to be satisfied, one has to be Krishna conscious. So why aren't people satisfied? So your question is, why are people not satisfied without Krishna consciousness? That's what the whole lecture was about. Why don't they surrender to Krishna? And so why don't they take to Krishna consciousness? Because they think I'll get less and less and less and less if I take to Krishna consciousness. If I surrender to Krishna, I'm going to get less, I'm going to look like them. I'm not going to care about, you know, my infinity car or whatever. I'm not going to care about these things anymore. And I don't want that. I'm not going to have women. I'm not going to have sense gratification. And I don't want that. So I'm not going to go on that. I'm not going to go to the Hare Krishna temple. I'm going to go to the business, the Rotary Club. If I go to the Rotary Club, I can get more money. I can get good business contacts, learn how to make more money. See the difference? But what they don't know is that the pleasure, the spiritual pleasure is here in Krishna consciousness. And the spiritual pleasure includes the material pleasure. One who has spiritual pleasure, he's also, as Srila Prabhupada's pointing out here, all of his material necessities are taken care of by whom? Krishna takes care of them. He doesn't have to worry about them. He doesn't have to work so hard to, it's like people have to have, you know, work for so many years to get a degree so that he can feel like he's attained something and society believes that he's okay. He doesn't have to go through that. He's got transcendental knowledge just by reading Bhagavad Gita. He's not interested in the superficialities of this material world. He's interested in the realities, the real thing, the substance. He's got what everyone's looking for. It's like last night we were out chanting Coconut Grove. So there were thousands of people out there in the grove, and they're all looking for some Ananda. Ananda. Ananda means bliss. They're all looking for some bliss. But all their eyes were on the devotees who were chanting and dancing, who didn't have to pay a cover charge and sit up there and eat snails and different things to get some Ananda. They were already happy, dancing and singing in the street. So a lot of them were thinking, yeah, what are we doing? We're doing this to try to become happy so we can dance and sing and get rid of our cares, and they're already free from their cares. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that it includes all the benefits of anything else that we may endeavor for. Material or spiritual. Whatever knowledge, whatever scriptures we study, or whatever we get from other processes of yoga or meditation, it's all included in Krishna consciousness, and we get much more. Those things, the knowledge, that comes in the very beginning. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayatyasu vairagyam jnanam cha yadahoy tukam. Or giving up bad habits. People have to, how much does it cost to take a give up smoking course? It's a lot of money, you have to go and this and that. Or give up drinking. You know, so much time, you have to go, what is it, 3 times a week or something, 5 times a week, meetings. There are people who've taken to Krishna consciousness who were addicted to heroin, and they gave it up. Just gave it up. It's very difficult to give up heroin or smoking or drinking or all these things. But they give it up. How? Param drishtva nivartate, because they get a higher taste. The higher taste means they lose the taste for these lower things. Automatically. It's like when a person grows up. When he's a little child, he's playing in the sandbox. When he grows up, he doesn't care to play in the sandbox anymore. He just automatically gives it up, but he has something else to take its place. He's not lamenting, oh no, I've given up the sandbox and now I have nothing. No. He's given up the sandbox. So similarly, we've given up these, as Krishna says here. He's not interested in these material things, but he has something better. Gopi Baba Rasamri Tabdi Lahari Kalola Magno Mahur. He has the unlimited bhava or ecstasy that is obtained by the great devotees like the gopis. So he's in that mood. So why should he care about these so-called pleasures? They're insignificant. Sandbox pleasures. Any other questions? We have any, well, we're just about ready for our, yes? Haribo. Krishna Consciousness Movement Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Vrajabihari Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva Ki Jai.